quarter past eight. It is definitely time to talk food. It's a little segment we call the Ingredients That Time Forgot. Jackie Newling's a food historian with Sydney Living Museums. She's the author of Eat Your History, and she's the wonderful colonial foodie. If you're tracking her down on Twitter, she's also joining me on the phone. Good morning.
Hi, Nick.
Now, we've got an interesting one here because really, we've been concentrating on foods that used to appear on tables or ingredients that we don't see much of anymore. We're kind of reversing this a little bit this time, aren't we?
We are, because, yes, we're sort of going back to before the beginning, if you like. There's a really strong movement now, which I'm very excited about, a lot of people are, and it's really led by an Aboriginal researcher called Bruce Pascoe, who has read the old colonial journals, so but the explorers' journals, so the ones that sort of pushed out from the sort of urban hubs. So you could call them sort of frontier men, I suppose. So people like Thomas Mitchell, people might have heard of him, who went after the crossing of the Blue Mountains, went way out through New South Wales, and Sturt. We all know Charles Sturt,
of course,
exploration through South Australia. And Leichhardt, you know, all those sort of names that most of us sort of fit together somewhere in our heads without really having ever read their work. And what Bruce has found in the journals are these fantastic descriptions of Aboriginal people and the harvesting and the agriculture they use of and planting and harvesting, storing and processing native grains and seeds to basically to make bread.
To make bread.
So, you know, when the first fleet arrived, as we've discussed before, they brought their wheat with them. They brought barley and maize and oats and all those sort of grains that they understood that would make the type of food they wanted. And because they were so, I guess, familiar with those and committed to those, they observed Aboriginal people using these other native resources but never really put them on their own tables. So if we're talking about ingredients that time forgot, these in a way are ones that we never really considered, but they were always there.
What are some of the grains?
This is the thing that they obviously have their local names, but there's a native rice, which appears up in the north, northern Queensland, which scientists are very excited about because our rice now has become so kind of homogenised, if you like, or generic, that this is a really sort of pure ancient, you know, we're really talking ancient grains here. A native millet, which is quite a small grain that can be, or seed that can be ground down and made into a flour. You've also got grasses, so around the Sydney area was kangaroo grass. And then you also had things like, you know, bunya nut kernels and cycad kernels and the pods from the bean tree that Aboriginal people understood how to process and turn into a sort of flour-like substance. And they found grinding stones that are, you know, 30,000 years old. So this is not a new thing.
And this is all stuff we ignored when we arrived.
Yeah, that's right. And that's Bruce and his colleagues' message, I suppose. And there's a really strong groundswell to revive these items and, you know, hopefully grow them commercially in the long term, and then that will create an industry and work for Aboriginal communities who can start, you know, taking advantage of these native grasses again.
Look, I'm loving this drive towards looking at native foods. Many, many months ago, I interviewed Clayton Donovan, who, of course, is a reasonably well-known Indigenous chef.
Yes.
He's amazing, but just talking about the way he really discovers these foods, he's often never heard of them, but he'll find an auntie who can talk to him about something she remembers eating, and he'll go through that sort of discovery process.
Yeah, and that's the most exciting thing when you speak to this young generation of Aboriginal people. You know, they are listening to their elders, and I think that's something that possibly, you know, we haven't done well enough. And, you know, so their culture is still very much alive. It's been passed down through generations, even though it hasn't been sort of at the forefront of our consciousness. So, yeah, this is part of a sort of a whole bigger Aboriginal cultural movement. And, you know, we've been tinkering around at the edges, you know, like something like wattle seed we use as a spice because mm-hmm. it's got a nice sort of coffee-like flavour. But that was, again, that was a food that could be harvested fresh and either eaten fresh or dried and then ground into a sort of to form a sort of meal, you know, to make a bread or a cake. So, you know, we've always thought of these foods as little sort of extras that we can, you know, as I said, tinker around the edges rather than as being whole foods.
Well, Jackie, finally, an ingredient that's being rediscovered after being, well and truly forgotten by sort of Western civilization in this country at the very least. Thank you very much. Where can people get a copy of your great book, Eat Your History?
Oh, you can get my book from our good, you know, independent booksellers or from our museum shops. And if you want to know more about this, the native grains and the Aboriginal agriculture, then Bruce Pascoe's book is called Dark Emu.
Dark Emu.
Well worth a read.
All right, Jackie, thank you very much. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Nick.
Jackie Newling, food historian with Sydney Living Museums, author of Eat Your History. Get a copy of that. Get a copy of Bruce's book, Dark Emu. Some incredible stuff and some just an amazing kind of push for these native ingredients finally hitting the dinner table. It's about time.